Is daf vav. So let's take it four lines down. The Gemara has been talking about the shechita of a kusi. So Gemara wants to know, my time of gazu b'hu rabbanon. For what reason did the chacham make a gzera that the shechita of a kusi is going to be aser? So Gemara explains ki hadir b'shim ben elazar shadir Rabbi Meir la'asui chamra ibe kusai. So that the sent Rabbi Meir had sent his rebbe sent to bring some wine from the Beit Kusai, from the house of the kusim. And Ashkecha Hu Saba, there's a certain elderly man who had found him. And who's that Saba? If you take a look at Tosos on the very top, Ashkecha Hu Saba, Yesh Mefarshim Dechol Makum Shehu Maskir Hu Saba Hu Eliyahu. This is a source that Tosos tells that Eliyahu is always the old man. V'yev Shalomar came Beperek Bamem Alikin Be'uvedi Rabbi Shimon Yochai. There's some places where the Saba can't be Eliyahu Navi, but outside of that, we assume Saba is normally Eliyahu Navi. So what happens? So he's going to retrieve some wine from Beit Kusai. Ashcha, back to the Gemara now, Husaba, the certain elder, this elderly man, Eliyahu Navi, tells him, Amar Lei, quotes a pasuk to him, it says in Mishlei, V'samta sakin b'lo'acha, im ba'al nefesh ata. You place a knife in your, how do you define it?
Jaw.
In your jaw, and if you're ba'al nefesh, you should not go. So halach Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, v'sipra dvarim lefnei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who was the shliach, tells Rabbi Meir what he heard from the certain, from Eliyahu Navi. The Gazar Lam, and Rabbi Meir said, we're being gozer, don't take shchuta, don't take shchita, don't take yayin from the kusayim. So my time, what was the reason though? So he quoted a pasuk. So granted, Eliyahu Navi told him not to do this, but what was the basis for Eliyahu Navi saying not to get wine from the kusi? So Amr Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak de Musiyona Matulahen Barosh Har Grizim. They found an image of a dove that they were busy worshipping on the mountaintop of Har Grizim. Shehayu Ovdino, so they served it. Meaning it wasn't every kusi that was worshipping this Demus Yona, but there was at least a small sect of them that were doing this. And since in general, Rabbi Meir is choshesh lemiuta, he's choshesh for the minority, gazaruba atumiuta. He was gozer on all kusim, the majority, in light of the small, the minority, that were serving this Avodah Zarah. And Rabbi Gamliel, Beis Dino, Nami Rabbi Meir Svilu, they hold the Rabbi Meir as well. So this is the basis for asering kusim in regards to wine, and also by extension the shechita. Now the Gemara wants to know, what exactly is Pasht Dekra? That pasuk that Eliyahu Navi quoted in a pasuk of Mishlei was not referring to.
So that would mean even if there is an Israeli watching him, because we say that obviously if he's not, then for sure it's
okay. Correct, exactly. So now the pasuk above that he quoted in Mishlei was certainly not talking about kusim. So the Gemara now wants to know, what is the pshat of that pasuk? Pashe de krab in my kusim. What's it really referring to? So the Gemara explains, but Talmud Hayoshiv Lefnei Rabbo, there's a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe. The Tani Rebichia tells us, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, the Pasuk prior to this, it says, Kisei Shev Lilchom Es Moshe, when you sit to fight with your ruler, which is another way of saying learning in Torah with your Rebbe. It's a different way of saying that. Bein Tavin Es Ashil Fanecha, or Bin Tavin, to understand what he's saying in front of you. They're just reading the Pasuk, we'll teach it in just a second. V'sam Tesakin Beluecha, place a knife, a sword in your jaw. In Baal Nefesh Ata. So that's the two psukim in Mishlei. So what does this mean? What's the drasha? So he says, Im yodea Talmud b'rabo sheyodea l'hachzir l'tam. If the Talmud knows his Rebbe, could explain the reasoning, could answer the question. Bin Jalashin of Bina, understand, inquire, ask the question. If you know he could answer, ask the question. Vim lav, if not, Tavin Ashil Fanecha, understand yourself, Vesamta Sakin Bulecha, place a knife in your jaw and don't ask the question, don't embarrass him, but don't stop there. The pasuk says, Im Baal Nefesh Atav, you're Baal Nefesh, which Rashi explains means that you're Adam Kasher. So then Rashi explains here, Umisava, you want to understand, Misava Lisho Lamur Al Ikr, you want to understand the reason, the core of what's going on. So what Takmai Takanta, what should you do to be a Baal Nefesh? Power Shemanu, go find another Rebbe. If he doesn't know the answers, don't embarrass him. Rather, find a different Rebbe who's going to give you the answers that you need. Gemara now goes back to the conversation of getting wine from Kusi. So three wide lines down, the Gemara says at the end of the line, Rebbe Yitzchak ben Yosef, Shadra Rebbe Abo, he sent Rebbe Abo as a shliach, Lasuye Chamra mi Beit Kusai, to go retrieve some wine from the house of a Kusi. Ashkecha Hu Saba, again, Eliyahu Navi finds him, Amarlei, Les Kan Shomri Torah, don't come to this place, this is a place filled of Ame Haaretz, don't buy wine from here. So Halach Rabbi Yitzchak, The Sipra Dvarim, Rabbi Yitzchak went back to tell the words Lifnei Rabbi Abo, to Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Abo sent Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak, the Shliach, went back to tell Rabbi Abo, who is the Mishalech, what Eliyahu Navi told him, that there's no Shamia Torah in this place. Halach Rabbi Abo, Rabbi Abo went ahead, the Sipra Dvarim Lifnei Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yasi. He told the people who were greater than him. So what did they do? V'lo zozu misham, they didn't move from that place when they heard this report. Ad sha'asam ovde kacham gemurim, they made the kusim into ovde kacham goyim, complete goyim. That's what took place based on these events. So Gemara wants to know, lemai, with regards to which halacha did Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi establish that the kusim should be just like ovde kochavim? If it's in regards to we don't accept the shechita, we don't accept the yayin, mehasim gazu b'herabanan. So we already know from previous cases where Rabbi Meir already was gozer, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Gamliel ben Bestino, they already are gozer on kusim with regards to shechita and nisach yayin nesach. Omar explains, inhu gazer v'lo kiblu minayu. Initially when Rabbi Meir and Gamliel made a gzera, it wasn't accepted. Asi, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Gazu, Vikulim, Minayo. Therefore, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi had to come and reinstitute the Gzeira with regards to Kusim, regarding Shechita and Yai Netzach. That's what took place. The Gemara says, "My Ovdei Kocham Gemurim." So what does it mean? Why did it just simply say, we don't accept the Shechita, we don't accept their Yayin? Why does it go so far to say that we made them mamish like Goyim Gemurim? What's the halachic relevance of that? And so the Gemara explains, Amar, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Levatel Rishus, V'litein Rishus, with regards to being Mevata Rishus and giving Rishus. What does that mean? With regards to Erevin, the halach is with regards to Erevin. If a person, the way they used to have the houses around the Chatzeros, so the Chatzer, the only really Isser of carrying on Shabbos is in Rishus Harabim, a public domain that, let's assume 600,000 people are passing through, 16 amos wide, that's the Isser derisa of carrying. In the Erev Chatzeros, with, you know, all of us are living around one courtyard, there are not 600,000 people walking, it does not have a dinner Rishus Harabim. Midraisa, we could all carry there. But there was a chashash, Shlomo HaMelech made a gzeira, that if we come to carry in an area that's owned by partners, we might come to carry in Rishus Harabim. So he required Erev Chatzeros to always include everyone chipping in for the piece of bread, that we all have one Rishus HaYachid, it's all under one ownership, and we could all carry, because the Chatzer now becomes a Rishus HaYachid by putting the money in. So now what happens if, let's say, there's a person who, a goy that's there, or a person who, one person didn't, how am I able to, I'm a Jew, let's say, forget a goy, I'm a Jew, I want to partake in this, in the food, I didn't give the food, if I'm a Vata Marshus, if I relinquish my rights to my house, I can give it to the rest of you, that's another way of including everyone under the same bylaws. With regards to a goy, it's not enough to simply Mevata Marshus, you actually have to pay him, you have to lease his house, his apartment, to make it really one unit. So if 10 guys are living around the chatzer and there are 3 goyim, we can't just say, give us your rights. We need to pay them for the rights of their house to all come together under one roof and to have one bylis of this Rishus HaYachid. So that's an afkamina, whether he has to rent from the goy or not. So the Gemara explains all this. Ukidatani, the Braisa says, Yisrael Mumar, let's say there's Yisrael Mumar who's living in the courtyard, Mishamer Shabbasa Bashuk, if he's keeping Shabbos Bashuk, meaning Befarhesya, he looks like a from Yid, even though in the privacy of his own home he's doing what he wants to do, but Befarhesya he keeps Shabbos, so we don't need to treat him like a guy, he's considered a full bona fide Jew, and Mevata Rishus, Venosim Rishus is sufficient. Just giving up his right, relinquishing rights is sufficient if it's a Mumar only in the Betzina. Now the Magen Avraham points out, even though normally we know the Mishnah in Beita tells us you can't make kinyanim on Shabbos, you can't make acquisitions, you can't give gifts over, he says this halacha of giving up one's rishus on Shabbos you're allowed to because it's not giving over rishus, it's being mesalik, it's being hefker, it's being mafkir. Relinquishing rights is not the same as handing over rights. And Magen Avraham Paskins, the Mishnah Berurah, quotes this, that you can be mevata rishus even on Shabbos. That's regarding a mumar who keeps Shabbos before hesya. But then the Gemara says, the Braisa says, v'she'enu meshamer Shabbos b'shuk, if he doesn't keep Shabbos publicly, meaning he's violating Shabbos, he's mechal Shabbos b'farhesya, then it's not sufficient. Enu mevata rishus v'nosim rishus, we don't allow him to simply just relinquish his rights. Mipnei shamer, because we have the statement, Yisrael's nosim rishus mevata rishus, but in Oved Kochavim it ad shi yischar, we have to rent it from him, we have to pay him money to have rights to his property. It's a case that how do we do this deal of schiris? Amar lo, rishusi kanui lecha, rishusi mevut lecha kana, v'natzarach lezakos. So this is regarding a yid. Regards to a yid, simply say, give us your property, relinquish your property, you don't have to be mezake other than that. But when it comes to a goy, you have to actually pay for it. So that's the din. When we say a kusi is like ovdei kochavim, it means we have to rent the property from him. So 2 points. Number one is, why is that? What's the reason for this? So they explain in the Rishonim, because we don't want the Jews living amongst goyim. So if there's going to be this financial strain of having to pay rights for them every single time we want to make Erev Chatzeros, that's going to get costly and we're going to end up moving out or maybe somehow forcing them to move out. More likely we're going to move to another courtyard where it's exclusively Jews. That was really the motivation for having to rent the property from the Goyim. Now Halach L'maisa, of course, we all live amongst Goyim. How do we do that? How do we make an Erev if there are Goyim living in all these places? We have a big Erev Chatzeros. That's how we carry in Woodmere. So how do we get the rights? We don't go to every single neighbor and buy the rights of your house. So the way it works is that Rav Moshe talks about, if you get rights from the mayor, from the state, the government, the county, the town, you buy their rights, that they have the authority in theory to kick people out of their houses to a certain extent, and therefore you're able to buy from the rights from the mayor, and therefore it's Erev Chatzeros. In a hotel, for example, hotel as well, there you don't even have to make Erev Chatzeros according to most poskim, because it's not considered shutvus. When I go to a hotel, you go to a hotel, we're not considered partners. The owner of the hotel, the manager, he has the rights to move everyone. He could always say, you're out of this room, you go to that hotel room. So he has full ownership of a hotel, and that's one rishus. As opposed to an apartment building, a landlord can't simply say to a person, evict a person from the property, and therefore in an apartment building, one would have to make an Erev Chatzeros. Now it gets tricky, of course, in the goyim there, how that works exactly, but that's the din. Fine. Gemara now says, halfway down the wide lines, Rebbe Zera, Rebbe Asi, Ikloi Lepundaka, they're once visiting Lepundaka D, I'm not sure how to pronounce that exactly, but that's Rashi says it's a city that was full of Ameh Arts. And they were chashed, we were concerned that people from the city were not taking Meiser, and we weren't sure, and therefore every fruit of theirs was considered Demai. It was always a Suffolk Meiser and Suffolk not Meiser, and you have to Mafresh Meiser just to be safe. So I see lekame beitzim hamutsumakos bayayin. They would bring eggs. Mutsumakos means cooked, but like Rashi points out, mitstamik v'yafilo is overcooked. They're very well done eggs that was mixed with wine, and wine comes from grapes, of course, and there's chashash of demai. So what happened? They brought this eggs, wine type of recipe, this food. Rebbe Zera lo achol. Rebbe Zera refused to eat it because he was choshesh that wine was demai. And Rav Asi achol. Rav Asi wasn't concerned. He ate it. So Amalei Rabbi Zera, Rav Asi, he says to Rav Asi, V'lochai shmar l'tarovas demai, are you not concerned that maybe they mixed demai with the eggs, and your isser, you're violating this isser? Amalei lava daiti. So Rav Asi said, I wasn't paying attention, actually. I didn't know that there was wine in here. I thought it was just eggs with who knows what. He wasn't aware. So in a chanan, he would have been mafresh. So now Rabbi Zera thinks to himself, now this is Rabbi Zera from yesterday's daf as well. Rabbi Zera says, wait a second, this can't be. Efshir gazu al tarovas demai. Is it possible Chachamim made a gzera that you can't eat taroves of demai? You can't eat demai that's been mixed together. And Isser exists. Umistaya milsed Ravasi, and Ravasi violated the Isser? Lemechal Isura? Hasha behemtam shel tzadikim. If the animals of tzadikim, which we haven't seen yet this example, but we'll see in Daf Zayim. If the animals of tzadikim ain't a Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takala yadan. A Kadosh Baruch Hu won't allow an Isser to take place to an animal of a tzaddik, so certainly tzaddikim la'atman lo kosher, and certainly a tzaddik HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let violate an iser. So how is it possible that Rav Asi ate an iser of Tarovas Demai? So it must be that there is no iser on Tarovas Demai, which is fascinating. He brings a raya from the fact that tzaddik did an iser. So it can't be a tzaddik did an iser. I have to now kind of reverse things and find a raya that he didn't violate an iser. So Nafik Vidak, he went ahead and find Nafik, Rabbi Zera. He went to do research. And Vidak V'ashach, he found the source that Taka, there is no Gzera on Tarovas Demai. Demai, there's an Isser. But Tarovas Demai, there is no Isser. What was the Raya? The Tzan, the Misha tells us that Halokeach Yain Lases Latocha Marais. You buy wine from an Amaretz to mix with something else. But you buy the wine as is, Be'en. Your intent is eventually to mix it. But right now it's a Be'en. Ola tocha lontis karshin and lasos mem tichin and nadashim lasos mem resisin. I don't know what exactly the words are, but you buy different types of foods to mix. But you're buying them as is and intact. So it's a chayiv mishim demai. When you buy them, the recipes, the ingredients as is rather, so then you have to separate demai, so you assume that the demai. Vein tarach lomar mishim vade. And certainly, needless to say, if they're vade, no demai. But hein atzman mutarim. If you buy them already mixed together, though, then mutarim shmipnei shein tairoves. So only when you buy the ingredients separate of wine is there a problem of demai. If you buy something that they already mixed wine in, there's a tairoves of demai, you're allowed to buy it, and there's no need to be mafresh demai. So tairoves demai, there is no gzeir on tairoves demai. That's the raya. Gemara says, really? V'lo gazu al tarovas demai? You don't think there's a gzeira on demai that's been mixed together? V'hatani, the Braisa tells us, hanosin l'shchenaso, a person gives his neighbor, who's an Am Haaretz neighbor, some isa lafos, the dough, my dough to bake in your oven. Oh, kadeira lavasho, I'm giving you a pot and I put some spice in here. Please, I ran out of fire, ran out of wood or something. Please cook it, please bake it for me. What's halacha? Eino choshesh l'seor v'tavlin shibba. We're not concerned that the dough or the spices may have been mixed together, that the neighbor that's doing the cooking may have swapped anything. Lo mishum shvius, lo mishum meiser. We don't think that she may have taken some of her shvius fruits, she's taken some of her meiser fruit and put them in. We assume that she left everything intact, she just turned on the fire and gave everything back as is. But im amar la, if he says to her, if the guy says to the neighbor, asali mishalichi, which means mishalich, please make me some food, use your own dough, use your own ingredients, choshesh l'sa'or v'tavlin sheba, we're concerned that the dough and the spices that she used, mishum shvius and mishum meiser. So here we are concerned, even though she made bread, and not all the ingredients are going to be that which is required demai, but since it's mixed together, we assume that there is demai that's in there. And she would have to be mafresh chuma and meiser, rather, not chuma, they are mafresh chuma. They have to be mafresh meiser, so you see that even though there's a demai, there's a taroves, there's a chashash of demai. Gemara says, no, shiny hasan, in that case, when you ask your neighbor to bake for you, it's different. Kaven de kamrala, since you say to your neighbor, Asili mishalichi, make for me from your food, it's kimand arbi adayim dami. It's as if you took the ingredients initially separate and then mix it. You're not buying them already made. You're buying them already separate and then it's mixed after the fact. That is no heter. But when you buy them already mixed together, then that's the only situation where it's permitted. Alternatively, suggests Rav Raphram. Raphram Amar, he says something else. Shiny seor v'tavlin de la taima avid v'taima la batel. It's different. Normal tairoves of demai is completely permitted and it's exempt from demai if you mix the demai together. But when the ingredients mixed are something that adds flavor, there's a concept in Yardaya that something that gives tam, that gives taste, is not batel. Even though normally we say bitul b'shishim, if a little milk drips into some meat, if there's 60 times the meat as there is milk, we say bitul b'shishim. But let's say that milk is so strong, it's so potent, you could still taste that milk, then it would be usher. So since the spices and since the dough gives the taste, so we can't say tairoves, we can't ignore the fact that it's there, and we have to take demai in that situation.
But in cases we still be popular, it's wine that you're putting on the mix, it's all...
So it's a good question, a very good question. I guess tavlin has stronger flavoring spices than that of wine. So I guess the wine and egg case must be a situation where you can't taste the ingredients. You know, many times, unless you're a professional chef, if they gave you a mixture of something, you can't figure out what's in there. But I guess the spices, the salt and pepper, that people could taste.
Yeah, they quote from Rashi here that in Ravasi's case, the wine was mixed with roasted eggs. The wine's not a primary component of the mixture.
And you can't taste it very much. Okay, fine. The Gemara now says, last three lines of the Amud, lechalufei lo chashina. So we had mentioned before, when you give your neighbor your dough and your spices, we assume he gives you or she gives you everything back what you gave. So that means we're not concerned that they're going to swap the ingredients. Is that really true? Lechalufei lo chashina. Are we not concerned that the baker, the cook, the chef is not going to switch the ingredients? So Hatzan, the Mishnah tells us a very interesting Mishnah. There's a very important Mishnah when it comes to the halachas of in-laws. So what's the halacha? Hanosin lechamasa, so a person gives his mother-in-law some food. So maisa eshehu nosin lo, before you give her the food, make sure you take maisa. We don't trust her that she's going to take maisa. You give maisa first. And then that's what she returns back to you. Eshehu no, tell me, Mendo, that would you take back from her. Mipnei shechashu, you have to also take maisa. Mipnei shechashuda, we're concerned, michalefes. Hamiskalka, meaning you want your mother-in-law to cook for you. So you get all the wheat and stuff and then the grapes and the wine. You have to take meiser before giving it to her. Now you give her the food. She gives you back your nice piece of cake, your nice challah. We have to assume she switched around the ingredients, so you have to take meiser again from what she's returning back to you. So how does that work exactly? So how come you have to, you don't trust her? In other words, we don't trust her that she's giving you back the right food. So what's the lack of trust of the son-in-law and the mother-in-law, the father, son-in-law, the daughter, I don't know who, I think it's the son-in-law and daughter-in-law here. Son-in-law and the mother-in-law.
But the chashis is that she's going to give him a better piece, not a worse.
Exactly. Yeah. But we still think she's going to switch things around.
Right.
The neighbor, we said, the neighbor's going to give you whatever you gave. But your mother-in-law, she's going to switch things around. Why? So Gemara said a fascinating point here. Hasam kidetanya there, kidetanya time. The reason is there. Amr Yehuda wrote to Hibatakanas Bita Ubusha Mechasa. She's concerned of her daughter and she's concerned of being embarrassed from her son-in-law. So let's say the son-in-law gives her some ingredients and she burns the cake. And if she returns the burning the cake, she's going to be embarrassed for the sake of her daughter, for her son-in-law. She wants everything to be exactly perfect. So in that case, she's willing to switch the ingredients to make sure her son-in-law has the best cake possible. That's why. But in a regular case, there is no chashash that the person is going to switch around the ingredients. Mara says, really, is that true? Alma, top of Amr Beis now. In general, lo chashinan, are we not concerned in other cases that they're going to switch things around? The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Demai. Hanos in the Pundakis, a person gives his host, Shalom, Mais Masa Shunosinla, Veshunotehimanim. What if a person gives his host food to make? So you give the ingredients, you have to take ma'aser before giving it to them, and when they return it back to you, you have to take ma'aser a second time. This is exactly the same case as the mother-in-law case, but this is a punda case, a regular host. And why? The Gemara explained, Mipesha chashud mechalefes. We are choshed that they might switch the ingredients around. So chalifin is a concern that we have. And the Gemara says, interestingly, hasam nami mora av amra. That case of the Pundakis is also, she's able to justify and switch in that particular case. What's unique about this case? So, Morav Amra, she's going to be Morav Heter to herself, she's going to justify it to herself. Bar Beirav, this guy who's coming to your house, he's a Talmud, he's a Bacher in Yeshiva, and he's dorming in my house. Leicha Chamim of Ana Eicha Krira, she wants the best that's for him. Let this boy who's struggling look for food in the Beis Medrash, I'd rather him have hot food, and I'll take the cold food. So he brings me the ingredients, and let's say I bake a whole thing for him from his ingredients, and ends up getting cold, I want him to have hot, fresh food. So for the benefit of him, I'm willing to switch the ingredients. She has good intentions. So this is another example where there's a chashash of chalipin. But outside of this case of the one cooking for the bachar, or the mother-in-law, outside of those two cases, we're not choshed for people switching the ingredients. Gemara says further, we don't have other cases where they might switch around the ingredients. The Brisa tells us that an Eishes Chaver, if you have a wife of a Talmud Chacham, who's Tochenes im Eishes Amharetz, and she's helping her neighbor, who's a wife of an Amharetz, grind the wheat. So, Bisman she Tamea, so when she's Tamei, it's all fine. Aval, lo Bisman she Torah, not when she's Tahor. Who cares whether the Eishes Chaver is Tamei or Tahor? So Rashi explains, because if she's Tamei, so she's not going to touch any of the food because she doesn't want to make anything tamei. So she'll stay away from the food, and she's not going to take any of the food from the Eishes Amharetz. But if she's Tahor, where she's able to touch the food and eat it, there's a chashash that maybe the neighbor, Eishes Amharetz, is going to give some of her husband's food, which is not Hafrashas Maiser. It's still Tevel, and she'll end up eating Tevel, and what hasn't been yet Hafrashas Maiser. So that's if she's Tamei versus Tahor. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Even when she's a Tomei, still lo titchon, you shouldn't grind together with your Eishes Amharetz, because your neighbor might give you from her husband's food, which is already Tomei as it is, and you might come to eat it. So even though you're grinding next to each other, I'm grinding my food and she's grinding her food, there's a concern that maybe my Eishes Amharetz friend is going to give me her husband's food. Now isn't that a concern of Gzela? How could she take her husband's food and give it to me as a neighbor? I'm grinding my stuff, she's grinding her stuff, so how come she's going to switch things? So the Gemara says that I don't much of a fully appreciate what's going on here, but the Gemara explains, Hasha Migzal Gazil, Chalufim Iboi. So if we're concerned that the Eishes Amharetz is going to steal from her husband and give it, so certainly we should be concerned that she's going to switch the foods as well. So Amar Rav Yosef says, no, she doesn't think she's doing Gazel actually. Rabbi Yosef explains, Hasam Nami Morav Amra, this Eishes Amharetz is justifying what she's doing. Torah Midishikachu. We know a Torah, a shore, an axe. When he dug ground, when he's plowing through the field, you can't muzzle the shore. He has to let him eat. So here's well, they're grinding together, so we're working together. She's deserving to have some of the food for my husband because I'm paying her for the service here. And that's not Gzela, that's in her mind, a very nice chesed. And therefore, it won't lead to chalipin. But in a general case where you're not grinding with each other, you're just giving the food over to my neighbor to cook and bake for me, that would not lead to any chalipin. Okay, fine.
She
knows basic things, but not all the things. Okay, let's go a little further. Hey, halfway down the Amud here. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz ben Chamav, she Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yeshua, who is, I think, the son of Zaruz, the son of the father-in-law. So in other words, it's the grandson of Rabbi Meir's father-in-law. I think that's how it comes out. So he was once testifying lifnei Rabbi in front of Rabbi about Al Rabbi Meir, who is his, great uncle or something like that. That she'achal Allah shel yarek bebeishan. The Rabbi Meir was eating vegetables in Beishan, and in the light of this, hitir Rabbi as Beishan kula ayadel chaveiro ayadel. They permitted everyone eating vegetables in Beishan. So Beishan was a shiloh, whether that's part of Eretz Yisrael or not. So the lachas of Chumos and Maisos in Eretz Yisrael, there's a big machlokas, but let's assume Shitas Rashi. Rashi says midiraisa degancha tirosh chav yitzarchar chayv in Maisa degancha the five grains tirosh chav wine yitzarchar olive oil. Midiraisa those are chayv in Chumos and Maisos. Yerek all other peros and vegetables are only chayv midirabanim. Outside Eretz Yisrael, Chumos and Maisos are not chayv. So therefore, the fact that he ate vegetables untithed in Beishan tells us that it must be Beishan was chutz laretz, and all vegetables in Beishan were permitted. That's what's going on here. You look at Rashi, explains all this in the bottom. So then the Gemara says, Chavru alav achiv beis aviv, so his all his friends, his brothers rather, his beis aviv, his whole family, a crowd around him, Amru lo, they said to him, Mokom shavosecha, Vavos avosecha nagu bo iser, that which all your parents and grandparents said is usher to eat a yerek untied in Beishan, ata tinog bo heter, you're going to now create a heter, you're going to undo the iser of your parents and grandparents. So darish lehen mikraze, so he quoted them, he made a drasha from the following pasuk. It says in the pasuk that the kiseis nechash nechoshesh, they ground together the nechash nechoshesh, which was some type of copper of Avodah Zarah. They would do witchcraft with it. Asher asa Moshe, that which Moshe made in the times of the whole events of Korach. And ki ad hayamim hahem hayu bnei so mekatrin lo, up until that point, this is in Melachim Aleph, this pasuk. They're Melachim Beis, rather. They were busy serving this nechash nechoshesh from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Avodah Zarah. Vayikra lo nechoshasa, and they called it the nechoshasa. So he asks the question, is it possible, Efshir, Bo'asa v'lo biyara, Bo'yoshafar v'lo biyara, great kings were there, and they never felt the need to burn this copper of Avodah Zarah. V'alo kol Avodah Zarah, Sheba'olam Asa v'yoshafar biyaram, they burnt every other of Avodah Zarah, so how come Sunday Melachim Beis, after the deaths of Asa v'yoshafar, they felt the need to burn something that the previous generations permitted? Ella, makum hinichu lo avosav list gaderbo. Asa and Yoshavet left room for their children and grandchildren to also create Yisurim. They didn't want to fix every problem. If the president comes in and fixes everything in the government, there's nothing left for his successor to fill. So he wanted to leave some room of mistakes for the successors to fill in. So he writes, Af ani mekayim so too, I'm also, hanichali avosai lisgadirbo, my parents and grandparents left some room for something to be fixed, and therefore I wanted to fix something. Now the problem is the opposite. Over there, they asked something. The kings of Yehoshaphat Asa, they asked that which was mutter. Right. Here they're being matir, that which is asr. There's a problem in halacha. Dvarm shenogam bo iser asr le'atir b'fneim. You can't matir something that generations have been asring. But let's just finish the last line of the Gemara here. Mikan l'tamad chacham. From here we see that tamad chacham sh'amer davar halacha. When he says the dvar halacha, ein mazichan oso. Mazichan oso means don't, the words that Rashi, don't separate from his word, accept it, don't be chozer, or Amrilai ein maznichan oso, which means Rashi, don't mishaksin, don't make his words disgusting, or finally ein Amrilai ein mazchachan oso, don't say it comes from a place of gaiva, it comes from a good source, and the Gemara is going to explain why these three different terms. All right, everyone have a wonderful day. Lift of Chanukah, pray from Chanukah.